The early 1970s saw an historic rent strike take place in Clare. The strike helped to inspire a national tenants movement. Members of the Community Action Tenants Union are carrying out an oral history project on the history of housing activism in Ireland. They're working on this with researchers from Maynooth University. Now researchers are looking to speak to anyone out there around County Clare who took part in that historic rent strike. And here to tell us more is Dr. Fia Tuberty. Fia is a member of the Community Action Tenants Union and a researcher at Maynooth University. Good morning to you, Fia.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for joining us and really interested to hear about this. I did mention earlier, Fia, that despite, you know, we've used the word historic in connection with these rent strikes, but yet I'm sure there are plenty of people out there listening going, oh, I've never heard of this, or, you know, or else, oh, I'd forgotten about this. Can you give us some background to the strikes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, our project is about kind of recording the history of housing activism in Ireland, including these rent strikes. So these began around 1970 in response to dissatisfaction with high rents, like poor housing conditions, maintenance not being done, and kind of bad planning in like new council estates. And there were a wave of like rent strikes in different counties and different places throughout kind of 1970, 1971. And then this like coalesced into a national movement and national rent strike in around between kind of 1972 and 73, and ended in success, where the National Association of Tenants Organizations, which was the representative body for the tenants, succeeded in winning like rent reductions, and then it was also recognized as the official negotiating body for council tenants.
It was kind of impressive how the ripple effect, which quickly spread around Clare from this. You know, there was the mass meeting in Shannon, and before long it had spread to Ennis, Six Mile Bridge, and Markham and Ferguson. They'd all been withholding their rent since early in 1970.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's reports of like a mass meeting in April 1970 where tenants decided that if kind of negotiations with the city manager that they were trying to, or with the county manager that they were trying to get started, if they didn't go well, they would start a full-scale kind of rent strike, so withholding their rent. And it's like, it's hard to find detailed information about all these events, because there's kind of mentions in some articles in the local papers, but there was reportedly at that point like 200 people in Newmarket and Fergus alone that were participating, which gives you a sense of the scale. And then about a year later, tenants in Shannon joined in, and there were around kind of 600 to 800 people there who were participating. They were like 600 to 800 households. So that, you know, on average, there were four or five people in each household. So it's a much, much greater number, I suppose, overall.
The threatened rent increases, Fia, I mean, obviously the people themselves, the tenants, were not happy with the suggested increases. Do we know how excessive those suggested increases were?
We haven't got like particularly detailed information, I suppose, because like at the time, different counties operated different rent scales. So they were all kind of like different, and it was kind of at the discretion of like the county manager and the corporation to make those decisions. I think like what's maybe the key thing is that at this time, like the cost of living was perceived as very high, and it was kind of like high inflation, like much like kind of what we're seeing now. And these rent increases were seen as like an extra burden that was just intolerable. Do you know the way? So it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, I suppose, in that way.
The Clare County Council, they sought to evict rent-striking tenants in Kilnasula Park in Newmarket on Fergus. Can you tell us about the situation involving the chairman of the local tenants association there, James Walsh, and the kind of community spirit that was on display to help James and his family out?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, one of the most dramatic events, I suppose, of the rent strike in Clare was an attempted eviction in Newmarket and Fergus of both two tenants, actually. So James Walsh and Jerry Ryan, who were the secretary and chairman of the Tennis Association. So it was rumoured at the time that the county manager had offered a £10 bonus to any council employee who managed to evict these two. And there's some really interesting information in the papers about it. So during the rent strike around the country, tenants associations had set up like action committees, which were tasked with responding quickly if there were any evictions. And this had also been set up in Clare. So reportedly, a woman who was dealing with this rang the Shannon Industrial Estate, and within half an hour, this is quoting from the papers, five carloads of workers arrived at the scene and helped prevent the evictions from taking place. And something else that contributed was that council employees were aware that their trade union had agreed to support the rent strike, so they refused to help carry out the eviction as well. So that, yeah, gives you a scale of kind of how organised they were and committed, I suppose, to stopping this from happening. That eviction in Newmarket and Fergus was one of only two that there's kind of detailed information about during the rent strike. There was another like really large scale dramatic attempted eviction in Dublin in Coolock, which was also held off by kind of community action. And between those two, the government kind of seemingly resigned itself to not being able to evict people who were on rent strike. And that was like a huge boost then to the campaign.
The organisation involved is impressive here, but what impresses me even more is the level of community spirit that was on display, and also that level of community spirit had the desired effect that if people come together and fight against what they perceive as a huge injustice, they can affect change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like what we saw at this time was, you know, a really large scale and well organized movement, where people, you know, identified, I suppose, a big problem they felt they were facing with high rents alongside the other issues with housing, and they organized themselves and kind of identified what they could do to put pressure on councils and the government, which was withholding their rent, because that rent, you know, was part of the funding for local government and they couldn't operate without it. They committed to that kind of course of action. They showed a lot of bravery and commitment and kind of carried it out, which is really admirable. And I think there's a huge entry and from what they did.
You mentioned that, you know, it ended well from the tenants' point of view in August of 73. A deal was negotiated between the tenants and what was then the newly elected coalition of Fine Gael and Labour. Can you just take us through what success they eked from that particular coalition in that deal?
There were kind of three key aspects to it. One was like rent reductions. So they succeeded in negotiating a new system for the assessment of rent, which is that rent would be assessed. So rent was set relative to income for council tenants at that time. And under this deal, kind of bonuses, overtime, social welfare payments, pension payments would all be excluded from the assessment of rent, which they hadn't been previously. So a big issue previously was that, like, if you work more one month, your rent would go up and then it would go down the next month if you weren't doing overtime. And that meant it was very hard for people to know how much they'd owe, and they'd get kind of huge bills from the corporation months afterwards because they got wind of the overtime, for instance. So that was one aspect, that it'd be assessed just on your basic take-home pay. And the second was that there'd be no rent increases for 3 years. The third was improved terms for tenant purchase. So that was where tenants were given rights to buy their home. And they negotiated kind of basically getting those houses bought by tenants cheaper, which, I mean, was a big victory at the time. I think in retrospect, we can recognize that, like, or my feeling would be that, like, it was probably a mistake to sell off a huge amount of public housing, but at the time, that's part of what people were fighting for because of these issues with the management of council housing by corporations. And then the fourth aspect was that the National Association of Tenants Organizations, or of the National Association of Tenants Organizations, yeah, was recognized as the official negotiating body by the government for council tenants. So it would have to be consulted about future rent increases and able to object and influence those. So that was the kind of detail. But I guess generally, like, the rent strike invigorated to an extent, like, the tenants' movement generally. And we see, like, after that, like, new associations pop up kind of around the country and decide to take on new campaigns.
It was a significant and large social movement. It involved tens of thousands of people. And as you've just outlined, it achieved a lot of success. With all that in mind, Fia, why do you think these rent strikes faded into the background of history?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Like, I think part of that is, you know, a question of, like, when the history books are written, there tends to be a lot of focus on kind of important people and, you know, political figures and so on, and much lesser amount of focus on the kind of struggles of ordinary people, of working class people. Like, working class history doesn't get the same attention as the history of, you know, leaders and politicians and so on. And then I think a second aspect of it is that, like, this time in the early 70s, there was just a huge amount of organization and politics, like radical politics, kind of going on in Ireland. Like, there were other housing movements around, like in Dublin, there was the Dublin Housing Action Committee, which did kind of squatting and occupations and so on. There were, you know, campaigns for land redistribution, to take back land from large landowners. There were campaigns to against, like, private fishing rights that saw thousands of people participate in those. It was just a really kind of active period in Irish political history. So, you know, looking back on it now, the rent strike itself seems kind of huge and remarkable. But at the time, like, we've interviewed people who were involved in a lot of those other movements, and they've said, like, well, there was a lot of other stuff going on as well. You know, the way it almost wasn't so remarkable by the standards of the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just wonder as well, you know, they say those who don't take heed or pay attention to history are doomed to repeat it. And you look at the situation we have now, rents are high, housing conditions in places are poor, the rising cost of living. I wonder, could we see 21st century rent strikes in Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, anything is possible, I think. I guess what we've gathered from this project is the amount of kind of commitment and organization that's required for that to happen. Like, we, as CATU, the Community Action Tenants Union, are interested in learning from these events. Like, we're trying to do this research partly to build it into our own kind of, like, training program to understand how we kind of organize within our communities, and how can we take action against, you know, the issues that we're facing, including, yeah, as you say, high rents, poor standards of housing, rising cost of living, and all those issues.
At what stage is the Oral History Project at, FIA? And for people listening to Morning Focus this morning who were involved in those rent strikes in Clare, and they'd be interested in speaking to you, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been working on the project for about a year. And we've done a lot of archival research with, like, newspaper archives and so on, and have done oral history interviews. I think we've done about 25 interviews, mostly a lot in Dublin, some in Cork and Drogheda, which were also kind of active areas, but we'd love to get people in Clare. Like, things like, you know, why Newmarket and Fergus and Killinasula Park was such a active and kind of militant area is a really fascinating question. Like, how did that come about? So we'd love to hear from anyone who kind of has information or remembers the events. You can get in touch by emailing us on catunato@gmail.com. So that's catunato@gmail.com, or on the phone on 087-719-7874. And as I say, we'd love to hear from people.
Brilliant. I'm sure plenty of people get in touch, and it'll be very fascinating to hear what they had to say about their remembrances of that time. Dr. Fia Tubridy, a CATU member and researcher at Maynooth University, the best of luck with the rest of the project, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
It is 0818 400 964 to give us a call here at Morning Focus, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 086 1800 964.